Okay. We are back, I believe. I'm kind of just been forgetting what episodes I'd be on at this point now.
God damn.
I'm in the 90s. I think I'm on 94 or some shit.
Man, you were in the 90s. I know you're in the 90s.
Yeah, I'm in the 90s. Pretty sure it's 94. It's either 93 or 94.
I know you did 93 already. I'm not sure about 94, so maybe this is 94.
Yeah, it's probably 94.
Yeah.
Episode 94, we got the homie, this nigga, we keep saying, we have this running joke to our Marvel homies, we call them the variants.
Yeah.
He looked like 8 different niggas when we see him.
Yeah.
So he's the ultimate variant.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself and what you do.
Oh, man, yeah. My name is Masuda. I am a producer, creative director, overall artist, and a connoisseur of albums at a rate that does not make sense. Yeah.
I feel that. Honestly, it's the coolest nigga. He be talking about bullshit raps.
Hell yeah.
he's going crazy on a new Push album.
Oh, man. It's insane. It's insane.
That, bro, I remember when you was talking about Uzi rapping on Pharrell beats. I was like, that's some shit you've done before. I'm like, I think it's going to be nothing crazy.
Yeah.
I first scrape it off.
How'd you feel about that?
I didn't even hear it when you guys were talking about it initially.
Hmm.
I think y'all heard the leaks. And I said, yeah, I'm just going to wait for it because I have this thing where I don't like getting disappointed.
Oh, I don't listen to the leaks, man. You know, that was art. That was art doing that. That was art spreading leaks and everything. He was like, just listen to it. I'm like, nah, I can't do it. Can't do it.
I listened to a leak, I believe, was when Flower Boy dropped 2 weeks before. And I was bumping that shit like crazy. So when it came out, I was already over it. So like, ever since.
Wait, Flower Boy leak?
Yeah, Flower Boy leaked about 2 weeks early.
Oh, I didn't even listen to Flower Boy initially. I didn't listen to Flower Boy until maybe like 2 years ago.
Bro.
I let that album alone because everybody was making it about the wrong things. I was just like, all right, cool, whatever. Because
they kept focusing on it being about his sexuality. I'm like, it's kind of a little deeper than that.
Yeah, because when I listen to the album, like, he only makes like one reference and that's it. And I'm like, it just got blown out of proportion. But even when I listened to the album, I was like, yeah, I still like Eagle more than this.
I like Flower Boy may be my least favorite. And that's crazy for it to be considered his magnum opus.
I don't know why it's considered his magnum opus when Igor exists.
Hell, Igor better.
Cherry Bomb. I like Cherry Bomb a lot too.
Cherry Bomb is my shit. It is my shit, man.
That's one of the first albums I paid money for.
I bought it. You bought the CD?
No, I didn't buy the CD. I got it on Apple. I mean, I got it on iTunes.
I bought the CD for it.
I bought Vince's album first, Summertime 06. Then I bought Cherry Bomb right after that. I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, those two probably
beautiful times.
2015.
Beautiful times. Barter 6. Beautiful times.
We were eating good in 2015. We just took it for granted.
Everything was beautiful. Everything was DS2 eating.
Eating.
Everything was great. I had a Tiana Trump follower at that time too. Yeah, I was working at Walmart.
Tiana Trump went to jail.
She went to jail sometime after that.
Yeah. Like,
I was like, damn, I missed my window. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you want that no more.
Who don't?
Oh, you still?
Nah, I'm playing. Yeah, nah. Nah. But nah, dude, albums were beautiful at that time, man. That was a great time for music.
Yeah, you know, even as much as I did not like Drake, I said, damn, this nigga, he just won't stop.
Oh, yeah, what a time to be alive was out there. Oh, God damn. Yeah, nah, that was a crazy time.
Bro, I'm thinking back, this is a tangent, I'm thinking back, that summer I had nothing to do, and I just had money in my bank account still from graduation gifts. So I was just buying weed, just chilling at home. I remember when Charged Up came out and I was listening to OVO Sound Radio. They replayed that joint back like 10 times.
Oh, wait. 2015, the same year he got into the Meek, right?
Yup. Yup. Yep. I'm just sitting there just running the back. I'm like, dude.
Oh, man. He was on his ass. Y'all, I remember the night when Funk Flex tried to premiere the Meek Mill response.
The Meek Mill response.
It had like a minute and 15 of like a Undertaker skit attached to it.
Yeah.
And then there was that one night they were supposed to premiere and it was just like a laughing track or something. And it was just like, and it happened before the Undertaker thing, and then you start rapping on the Undertaker thing, but he wasn't snapping. He was trying to slowly go through the flow and everything, and then it just didn't work.
Here's what I said.
Then he started beefing with Wale.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about it. He's always beefing with Wale, though.
That's when he said, you're not MMG. He said, you're not MMG.
I called the homie when Charged Up came out. I said, nah, Meek got to come up with something because...
Oh, he had no choice, but he failed.
I'm a subliminal that Drake has done, and you know exactly who this nigga's talking about.
Yeah.
Like, he ain't making no specific references, but you knew exactly that whole record.
You knew exactly who it was. And then he came back with Back to Back. Like,
nigga, when Back to Back dropped, I woke up that morning. I think it was a Sunday. And everybody's talking about the Drake. I'm like, yeah, Charged Up, I heard that. They said, nah, another one. I said, another one?
Yo, Cali. Yo. Nah, I was at work when that dropped. I was like, I left work early in the morning. I was like, what the hell just happened here? I was like, man, beautiful time, though.
Hell of a time. Hell of a time, man.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Got you on this special episode. It's something I've been contemplating for a minute. And initially, what we're going to do is we came up with a list of albums. And we're going to talk about if it's a classic or did we just hear it a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This specific list for me, I didn't know what, because I know every list was different. Because I almost thought about Music Soul Child album.
Which one? The first one?
All that niggas' titles run together. I think it's his first or second one.
Oh, man. Let me see.
Everyone dropped in 04.
And dropped in 04.
That almost made the cut. And I'm just like, eh. I think people will argue that that's a classic more than anything else.
He got classic songs, but...
Because y'all was disrespecting that nigga when it came to Versus. I ain't like that.
I didn't even watch that Versus. I didn't watch Music Soul Child's Versus. Who was he against?
I don't think he actually ended up doing the Versus. We know we kept talking about we wanted him to go against Maxwell. And niggas
started, against Maxwell.
Niggas start. I'm like, bro, don't do that nigga like that.
Maxwell will spank that man. Don't do it. Hey, don't go against Maxwell.
Music Soul Child like that.
Woo! Hey, he gonna disrespect himself going against Maxwell, dog.
Bro, you wildin'.
He can't see that man. I'm sorry.
You wildin', bro. Hold on.
Are you talking about I Just Wanna Sing? This man got up.
The AC was on. My mic picks up all that shit. Oop.
Yeah. Are you talking about I Just Wanna Sing?
Let me see.
That's his first album. That's from 2000.
I'm talking about the 07 one.
07.
But Buddy, Miss Philadelphia, The Questions Make You Happy. Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, man. Dude, that one has, like, Teach Me on it.
Because we also kind of messed with the idea of Keisha Cole's second album.
Banger.
You listen.
Absolute banger.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
No skips.
At all.
No again, skips.
I ain't had no choice but to. I couldn't skip it. It was in my mom's car.
No skips. Listen. My mom, she had a bunch of CDs, like, mm-hmm. from, like, all the R&B girls, all the R&B dudes. Big ass envelope like the Pokemon cards. Bro. So had it flipping through it. My thing about my mama is she'll put a CD in. She doesn't let a CD go all the way through. That CD went all the way through.
Bro, that one was a hit.
That one, yeah. Yeah, because you had Latoya Luckett showing up around that same time. And, you know, she was knocking everything down on 106 and Park charts, but can't knock that Keisha Cole. Can't knock that Keisha Cole off. That Keisha Cole got listened to straight through.
So first up, Yeah. Now this one I want to start with because I came back and heard his records again. I said, there's something here. So we got Trey Songz.
Oh, New Charges. New Charges.
Bro, that nigga sick. Woo! Like, side note, we're clearly talking about Trey Songz. Like, this is...
It's him.
He's sick. He did
Don't need a name. He did that shit. You saw the footage. You saw the tweet at the beginning. On New Year's Eve from the WNBA ball player.
Oh, yeah, Dakota.
Where she said, hey, I just want to let y'all know that, oh boy, tweaking. He raped me. That's all I wanted to say. Goodbye. And that was it. My dad played that CD straight through, but see, my dad's like me. He listens to albums all the way through no matter what. So, and then if he doesn't like it after that point, he just is gone. It's usually gone after a week no matter what it is. After a week, it's not getting play if it's not what it needs to be. That one, I think he got stuck on that one for like a little bit, but it wasn't for super long, maybe like half a week.
This one to me, if I want to show anybody an album and say like what 2005 sounded like, just the sound, it's this one. It's probably this one in Jeezy's Thug Motivation 101.
2005. Who else was dropping in 2005? Well, Chris Brown came out in 2005, right?
Yeah, Chris Brown, but it doesn't necessarily, you can't, like, we know it came out in 05, but it doesn't really sound to me like 2005. Like, when I think of what music really sounded like to me, a lot of niggas are making songs just like Trey Songz. Not saying they copy Trey. Hell, maybe Trey copied other niggas. But this shit sounds like, yeah, I could feel like I'm definitely, this is summer after my third grade year. This sounds exactly like that summer.
2005, I was probably in like fourth grade, going to fifth grade. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, it's there. It's a sound. You still had Joel Santana going crazy at that point. Yep. So, yeah, most now, definitely.
I think what made me add this to the list, I heard Cheat On You came on again. You know when you do Apple Music, and anytime you like plug in your Bluetooth to the car, mm-hmm. you automatically play the song. This came on, and I said, hold up, this song's kind of fire.
So boy, you know that song is hella sick because throughout like the song he's like, ladies, I know you can feel this. Sometimes I wanna cheat on you. And the thing is, his career that kept going. I'm like, yo, this man holds a different type of power. You haven't seen that since R. Kelly. Yo.
Like, that nigga is sick. Like,
yo, he's a sick dude. He was sick on the first album. I'm listening to it on like a Saturday. And I was just taking my time listening through the whole thing. I mean, he had like Aretha Franklin opening up with like a monologue, and like that was pristine. Yeah, that was cool. Like, that was his ticket in right there. And I was just like, yeah, this is a solid ticket in. But I mean, what occurred afterwards? I don't know.
And the track list, let me see, because I was really vibing with it up until I think it falls off to me at, I want to say, either Kinda Loving or Coming For You. One of those two.
Let me search this one. Let me pull this back.
Yeah, gotta make it. It's the, again, it sounds like 2005.
Twista features are so crazy because no matter what year it is, it's like, okay, yeah, that's Twista. Sounds like Twista. It's him.
But you can tell. You can tell what phase of Twista. Like, you can kind of gauge what year it is by what phase he's in. You just gotta figure that shit out.
Yeah, I think it fell out to me after like from a woman's hand. I was just.
You said from a woman's hand.
Yeah, like I was listening to it, I was like, I can kind of nod off right here.
Exactly why. Like, it started off strong though.
Oh no, it was a super strong start.
Gotta go, ooh, all the ifs, you're behind. I'm like, damn, this nigga kind of going for a little bit. Why don't nobody talk about this album? Around from a woman's hand to just want to cut. Yeah, it just hits a deep fall off.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I mean, people still played in their cars, but you gotta remember that time frame. I mean, CDs, you buy a CD, that's kind of it. So I mean, that's all you got.
You gotta have, like, I'm like, damn, it's 18 songs. I'm like, oh yeah, CDs were very long back then.
Oh no, I saw it was 18 songs when I was looking at it last Saturday, and I was like, Do I want to do this?
There was a phase like 10 years ago, and I'm like, if you're a rapper I like, I'm like, nah, I need you to give me a bunch of records. Like, give me all the records, because you're not going to get sit here and give me no 10 and then go away for a minute. Like,
nah, yeah, nah. I blame Master P. Why? Them double disc? Do you not remember what he fucking did to everybody with those double disc?
Oh my God.
Because, like, okay, so, like an album, because, you know, we listen to 3-6, so, you know, those albums, they're pretty stacked out, but, see, in some cases, you only got, like, 15, you cut it there. Master P, you got 20 on this one, you got 20 on that one, and boom, that's it. And then we're going to have another album for you next week. I'm just like, bro, like, Master P was doing little B numbers, bro. Like...
Long ass albums,
like Master P could have really just gave niggas a 100-song mixtape like Lil B be doing, and just said, "All right, y'all good." It had like 20 hits off of them.
Niggas gonna do this with that Frank Ocean compilation tape. It holds like 60 records.
The Christopher Bro collection, the one that was on that.
Bro, I'm just like, God damn.
My sister downloaded that joint. You know, my sister didn't see what Frank Ocean looked like until the Blonde album cover. She didn't know what Frank Ocean looked like.
You know what? I could see, because even with his videos, he was barely in them, so he wouldn't really.
Yeah, showing she wasn't watching the videos. She was just listening to it. Like, my sister, she loves Channel Orange. Like,
he was the only thing I've ever seen post videos on Vimeo, and that's it. Like, he don't do the YouTube Vivo shit.
Oh yeah, Vimeo was hard. Vimeo is still kind of, wait, didn't they shut Vimeo down?
I don't know if they shut down Vimeo, but that was my shit.
Vimeo was hard.
Like, all the artistic videos is on Vimeo. Niggas was really in their bag over there.
I feel like people should go back to Vimeo.
Shit, low key, they don't give a fuck about that copyright shit. You could just do whatever.
Oh, you can do whatever on there. Yeah, we need to bring back Vimeo.
Vimeo is the real deal.
Yeah,
because YouTube be playing games.
Yeah, but nah, Trey Songz, that album, maybe it got played a lot in a bunch of cars, but yeah, you know classic songs. Classic bro, songs.
You got some records on there.
Yeah, some heat on there.
Next one, Exclusive by Chris Brown.
Background. Double Mint Gum commercial. That's all I gotta say. Double Mint Gum commercial. Bro. Real official. Real official.
My sister got that CD for Christmas, and I got Soulja Boy's first album for Christmas.
I got The Cool that Christmas. My sister got Chris Brown.
That's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, 2007, right?
Yep, Christmas 2007.
Yep, I got The Cool.
Cool. Ooh, that's a good one. I don't think I got The Cool until a year later.
Oh, no. I had to go back and, because I carried that one in my pocket, like bare disc, to school and back. Like, just waiting for that moment for someone to say, hey, anybody got a CD you want to put? I got it right here. I got it. I had Food and Liquor when it came out. My mom asked me what I wanted for my birthday. The first CD she ever bought me was Monkey Business by Black Eyed Peas, okay?
That's a fire album, too.
That's the first one, and I wanted them. Okay, yeah, like, let me get that. But when it came to my birthday, I was like, hey, I need Lupe Fiasco. And I didn't stutter to nothing. My mom couldn't say the shit. And I was like, Lupe Fiasco, I need you to get it for me. And she was like, okay, I'll get it for you. So she got it for me. I took it to school. And this same year, High School Musical was popping. Yep. They asked, oh, you guys, you might want to play the CD? I'm like, yo, let me play this socio-political black power shit for you, dog. And they were just kind of like, no, the class took a vote. We in there listening to High School Musical. I got Food and Liquor in my book bag just fuming. Wait, like, ready, like, to go off. But I realized how bad that would have ended up, because imagine if they let me play American Terrorist, which was my favorite song off of that album, in the fourth grade. It was my favorite song. So I'm just like, oh, shit. Like, you know what? I'm glad they took a vote not to listen to this album with me, because I would have been in the principal's office for, like, 3 hours. Like, hey, like, what the fuck going on? But... yeah, no. I got The Cool that year.
Cool? That one's hard, though. I love showing people The Cool. I love that album to death, actually. So, with Exclusive, because your sister had it, and I think your sister's older.
She's, like, 19 months older than me, so... So, yeah. Yeah.
And my sister, she's a baby, so I think she was 5.
Jeez, you got exclusive for a 5 year old? That's crazy.
My sister, because we have an older play sister, she's like a year older than me. So yeah, they were working out a lot. So she kind of took on like a lot of her music.
Yeah. So, okay, that makes sense. But I mean, you couldn't escape Chris Brown in 07.
But like the fact that
he dropped Wall to Wall.
Bro, that nigga, yo, Wall to Wall dropped. I said, goddamn. I didn't like that nigga. I'm like, damn. This nigga.
I wasn't really rocking too much with the first one. I mean, I understand what it means to a lot of people. But for me, like, just who I was at that point, like, just me telling you, in fourth grade, I tried to make the whole class listen to American Terrorist.
Yeah.
And I bootlegged Graduation. I burned like 12 copies. And as I went to go get my friends for the bus stop, I passed them out. I said, you got to listen to this. You got to hear this. Like, this is the Bible at this point. So when I heard Exclusive, I was like, I like this, but I can't say that I like this.
Bro, that's how that shit felt, because we were going up to Oklahoma for Christmas. Like, every time we spent actual Christmas, like in Dallas.
Yeah.
The next day, or I think on the 27th, we'd always go up there and spend New Year's with them.
Yeah.
We tried to play the Soulja Boy CD. I was rocking with it. My mom said, yo, turn this shit off.
You ain't like Shootout? Hey, yo. You don't like Shootout? Oh, Snap and Roll?
Snap and Roll, she just hit the eject button. She's
like, yo, you know Snap and Roll is on GTA now.
Word?
It's on the reggaeton station. It plays right after Playboi Carti.
Mom was like, that's just a bunch of noise. I'm just like...
Oh, yeah, because in the background, he's like, yeah, in the background.
We had a whistle in the background. I'm like, bro. Mom was like, yo, I can't do this no more.
Dog.
I'm like, God damn.
Yo, he was setting trends, dog. Like, yo, Snap and Roll classic. Soulja Boy.com classic.
Bro, listen, that was the album. Like, every kid at school had that CD, had the albums, doing the shades, all that shit.
You had at least three guys on the school bus with the shades on, with the writing.
Yep.
Jesus.
Niggas had eyebrows and all that. Like,
Because you had him, and then, you know, Kanye comes with the shutter shades right after that.
Literally right after.
So, I understand why Kanye says that he's so pivotal, because technically, now that I'm thinking about that, I don't think he would have got Shutter Shades without Soulja.
Soulja was one of them niggas, like, you talking about the definition of, like, being the coolest kid in the school.
Yeah.
Really talented, and he's on some weird shit. This nigga, everything that he did should not have been cool.
Like, fake bassist.
Like, this nigga, he did have a fake bassist. Niggas did not know what bassists look like, for real.
So, he had, like, fake bassists, but they had, like, the symbols and everything lined up real well. He had good fakes. Okay. And, yeah, he had really good fakes. He had some reals dipped in there, but it's like, it was a lot of fakes in there, too.
Bro, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think at that time, like, 06, 07, you could only really get bassists from New York, London, and Tokyo from their stores.
I think so. So you had to be connected to get your hands on those.
Yeah. Because I'm like, they weren't really going around like that. Because to us, they look like fake Air Forces.
Yeah, but I mean, even then, to me, they were hard. I had an all gold pair of Bapesters.
Excuse me, you got I never had Bapesters. Like,
I had the golden Bapesters. They were beat the fuck up. Like, they were beat up. But dude, hand them to me, I was like, oh my God, these are Bapesters. So I wore them for like a week straight. My feet were too big for them, by like half a size, but I wore them. Like, I was like,
he was crammed up into the
feet. Boy, I was hurting. But look, golden Bapes is on my feet, man. You don't know where I got them from. You ain't never seen them.
Like, not in on this.
Yeah, this is South Carolina. Like, they don't know what these are.
So what stood out to you on Exclusives?
Oh, man.
You talking about no skips?
Hold on. Let me pull this up. Because that might be a no skip right there.
Because I be thinking about it, even though I talked to the homie Budo about it, because Budo's a big fan of that album, too.
Kiss Kiss is on here. Take You Down is the third song. I didn't even know that was the third song. Why is that the third song?
He's swinging on this album, bro.
Dog, Kiss, he is smacking with you. Come on, man. Picture Four? Will I Am is oh, the Will I Am one is great.
Get you one, because I got that one.
And then you got a Big Boy feature on here. Come on, dog.
At number six is the Big Boy feature.
You is on here. Damage wall to wall.
Damage wall to wall.
Oh, I had to sample wall to wall like 2 weeks ago. I learned how to play that breakdown and structured it because it kept popping into my mind. That's why this is undeniable.
Bro, this album, you know which one it gets me? Give Me What You Got. Give Me What You Got featuring Lil Wayne.
Why doesn't it say that Lil Wayne is on this one? But that song is hard.
I don't know. Maybe because, you know,
I call you.
That's when Chris Brown, they were still trying to market it for kids.
Oh, but they got the Game featured like blatantly on here. So what does that mean? Like the Game came out with Run Blood.
I have no idea, but I remember like. I don't get it really. Maybe it's because I think Chris Brown's on Def Jam.
He was on Jive at that point. He was on Zomba. Yeah, because it's under Zomba. Because you know that's one of those labels that they had underneath Jive for like urban and everything. Even though most of the shit that they had was urban, anyways. But
yeah, that's always been weird to me because Wayne. I didn't even think we knew Wayne was on the album until we heard.
Yeah, I never looked at the track list. Like, that's the thing. I never looked at the track list. I just listened to it. I had no reason to look at the track list. I know it's good.
Bro, 18 songs of just bangers.
18 songs, and I mean, wait. I'm very confused right now, because where's Forever at?
Forever, that was the deluxe edition. That one came out in 08.
Okay, so I don't know why it doesn't show up on here.
They did a special edition called the Forever Edition. Like they were milking the fuck.
Oh out. Because Forever, like adding Forever to it just blew my mind because the sense and everything on that song just made so much sense to me. I was like, yo, Chris Brown, Michael Jackson. Like that's how I felt at that point.
Forever came out that spring of 08, and then they re-released the album in like that July, August. I'm like, damn, y'all are milking the fuck out this album.
Hey, rightfully so. Forever is a banger.
It was hard, though. I couldn't even be mad.
That's one of the hardest songs. I could never.
This man, when I heard Exclusive, I was like, nah, this nigga Chris Brown is like untouchable.
Nah. At that point, like, literally reaching his... That was Michael Jackson. He was reaching Michael Jackson levels for that time because you haven't seen anybody since then.
People forget how big Chris Brown really was at that time. Like, that nigga was soaring.
Dog, and you think about the fact that even with him being, like, quote-unquote blackballed, even though we all know he's not really blackballed, even when he was blackballed, like, he was still going crazy. It only took one album to get over the hump for him.
Because
he took a hit with Graffiti, but then he came back with Fame, and boom, he was back.
I mean, I think Graffiti still sold pretty well, and they didn't play none of his records on the radio.
Yeah, no, it still sold well. But as far as like mainstream attention, Fame brought it back. I mean, Look at Me Now is like
all he had to do was just cry on stage,
do a Michael Jackson tribute, fake crying while trying to sing Man in the Mirror. He time to make a change. Just start. He ain't know the words.
And they said, "Hey, bro, we ain't really rehearsed like you wanted it to, so we're gonna need you to fake cry right here. We need you to really tug at the heartstrings."
Yeah, we know you. We know you can dance your heart out, but when we get to this song right here, just hit the floor. Just hit the floor, bro.
That's exactly what he did too.
Try to make a change. Like, bro, you lay your hands, dog. Like, it is what it is, bro. Like, they already gonna forgive you once you get off this stage.
Like, the fact they already forgave him because he did the tribute. Like, he was pretty much forgiven at that point.
And then, yeah, pretty much.
Everybody, we were kind of on Twitter, but not really, but we were on Facebook a lot. Everybody said, maybe it's time for him to forgive him.
Yeah, it was still Facebook at that time, yeah. I wasn't at them on Twitter until 2010. So, yeah.
Like, I had my Twitter account, but I really wasn't using it like that.
I wasn't there yet.
Niggas was out here talking about maybe it's time to forgive Chris.
Yeah, we should forgive Chris Brown. Everybody makes mistakes. It's like,
I like the angle. I said, whoever his PR rep is like goated because I like what their angle was because he couldn't, I think because of the whole Jay-Z shit. Jay-Z refused. He said, if you guys bring Chris, I'm not coming. So they picked Jay-Z instead. They're like, damn, we're going to roll with Jigga. Sorry, yeah. Chris. So he had to do his tribute a year later. And they said, hey, he could cry. Like, you missed it. This could have been you last year.
Damn, that's fucked up. They said, look, all right, we had Jay-Z show up this year. Hey, listen, we got you next year.
That's what they did, babe, because he dropped Deuces a week later, and then he did Fan of a Fan.
He dropped Deuces after that?
Deuces was right after.
Yeah, see, that part of the timeline for Chris is blurry for me, because I wasn't really caring. I was just like,
Baby sister's obsessed with Chris Brown. I'm a no.
Oh, no, my sisters were into him, but, you know, I was too busy in the blogosphere, you know, defending Kid Cudi, so.
See, we was on the same shit, dude. I was rocking with Cudi for real.
I was rocking with Cudi. You remember when people tried to say that B.O.B.'s first album was a classic and everything like that?
Oh, my God. Hell yeah, I remember that.
You remember that? Okay, so when the XXL gave him his review, they kept comparing him to Kid Cudi. They kept comparing his album to Man on the Moon.
I can see why you compared it to, because these are two rappers that aren't really rapping.
Yeah, but the thing is, Cudi's rapping throughout the whole thing. So it's kind of like that weird space that Drake was in where they were like, oh, he's doing more singing. But when you look back, he's doing more rapping than he is singing. So
we talked about that in our group chat.
Yeah, we literally talked about this. It's the same thing for Cudi. Because Cudi was rapping. And he was going into it. That's why people have like the lyrics to Soundtrack to My Life on shirts. So
problems and they all bitches with y'all Jigga Man, Carefree Living, but I'm not Sean or Martin Lewis.
See, the fact that you know that off the top of your head, it tells you. Because that whole beginning was hard. He not even like quote unquote barring up, but he's speaking the real. So it's just kinda like, yeah. But nah, dude, I was on that wave. Yeah, nah, B.O.B. still got me blocked on Twitter to this day because of that. I was going hard on him. I was like 16. I knew no better. I had time. I wasn't doing my homework, dog. I was reading Kid Cudi's everyday blog, and I read Complex, and I read Up Rocks. Then I go on to Dope Boys. Then I hit Twitter.
I thought you were about to go on Ill Roots and Nah Right.
I end up on Nah Right certain days, but, you know, Ill Roots, I wasn't really on Ill Roots like that. I didn't like their articles that much.
I only went to Ill Roots if I wanted to know which new rapper I should check out.
Nah, I went to Two Dope Boys for that.
Two Dope Boys, they didn't have the catalog. That's how I found out about Tinashe, like, in 2012.
On Two Dope Boys?
Tinashe was... She poked, like, they was pushing her shit in 2012.
I saw her pushing some of her stuff. I mean, when she was... Because they pushed her in the right way, because they were like, oh, well, she produces her own stuff. They said a third, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And I was like, okay, yeah, I can rock with Tinashe. But even still, I when I heard 2-1, I just fell away. I didn't like that song. But...
It took me, hearing in retrospect, I like it now. I didn't like it back then.
Yeah, it sounds better now than it sounded then. And I'm just like, damn, they really, RCA did her dirty. But that's a different talk. Oh, I love her last two albums.
Because I'm like, damn, she's in her bag now.
The bag. She is in the bag. She is the bag.
Independent.
Independent. She's the bag. Man, but yeah, no, I was in the blogosphere heavy. I got blocked by B.O.B. after he did his BET freestyle in like 2012 or 13. It's after he did that one Black and White cover mixtape, and I kind of liked it for like a week, and then I didn't like it anymore.
You talking about No Genre?
That might have been it. I was like, I kind of like this. He rapping a little bit better. And then he did that freestyle on BET, and I was like, what the fuck is this? So then I started going hard on him, and then he blocked me.
That's the same time I stopped rocking with that nigga too.
That freestyle did some damage, boy.
When he came back and did the Strange Clouds album, I said, nigga.
What is this? Like, dog, you are terrorizing us right now. Like, don't do this, bro. And then he took advice from T.I. and then made an album, the Underground Luxury album or whatever.
I'm like, nigga, it's too late.
I'm like, dog, what is this? He did the fucking We Ball mixtape. I didn't understand the statement at that time, and then, you know, over time I understood it. I was like, okay, the statement, all right, but I don't know how to feel about this. And, you know, Juicy J was researching at the same time too.
So was.
Yeah.
It was just all over the place. It was just hella chaotic.
Hella. But But yeah, I don't know too much about that one era of Chris right there. I'm not too deep on that one. I know the Fan of the Fan mixtapes went crazy. I know.
Man, I cannot remember what the fuck.
There's another mixtape, and I know which one you're talking about, but I don't know the name of it right now. Let me whip out my DatPiff app. Yeah, I got. You got DatPiff on your phone?
Hell yeah, I got DatPiff on my phone. I think I'm listening to XV.
Oh hell no!
Bro, I go back to XV's old shit. Like, hey, don't y'all niggas judge me. XV was the car.
Oh, you talking about In My Zone?
In My Zone, that's the one, the Gangsta Grills joint. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's for No Sleep. No Sleep was on it. And
oh yeah, nah, he was smacking him. He was smacking him at that point. He earned his redemption. He was smacking him.
Convertible Don't Lie. Bad.
I wasn't listening to it, but I didn't have to because I could hear it everywhere else.
No bullshit. Boy, listen, we was 14 when this came out. We was just horny ass teenagers.
Yeah, I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't listening to him, but he was going hard. I think I seen, like, No Sleep has a music video, right?
No Sleep has a music video, so there's no bullshit. There's another song on here, or is it on the Fan of a Fan joint? He has a song with Kevin McCall. Or Kevin McCall has a song with him.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember exactly which one it is. It is notable, though, because that one was going crazy.
I feel like I forgot the name of the beefing. What is the name of the song? Strip.
Yeah, nah, the girls was eating that one up in high school.
Strip, that's the one.
See, yeah.
Because we was talking to a bunch of girls in high school, so we had to end up listening to Chris Brown. It's not like we wanted to listen to
that. Yeah, it's not even wanted to. It was just around women, you know? That's a temp check.
It's crazy, like when Frank Ocean came out, nigga, I started pushing Frank Ocean heavy. I said, hey, fuck Trey Songz, fuck Chris Brown.
I already said fuck him. I was like, all right. But because by that point, my guy was The Dream. The Dream was my guy. 07? December 07?
I almost added The Dream's first album to that list, Love Hate.
Nah, because remember I was telling you, I was like, we need to talk about this. Because he made that album in a week.
That's crazy. But it's
he made it in the week because he had a deadline. They gave him a deadline. Dejan said the only way we're gonna put this album out is if you get it done by the end of this week.
That's crazy.
And he did it.
But also, I'm not surprised. Again, the same nigga that wrote Rihanna's Umbrella.
You know Umbrella's supposed to go to Mary J. Blige.
I'm glad it didn't. Because I don't.
Well, I'm glad it didn't. It might have worked.
I don't think it would have had the same impact though.
No, it wouldn't have had the same impact because it wouldn't have had that same music video. And it wouldn't have had that Jay-Z verse on it either.
That too, because the whole feature was going crazy.
We came through the storm. you hear that? And it's just like, oh, that's the song right there. Here we go. And then you get the Chris Brown remix that pretty much announces their relationship and everything. But it's all thanks to The Dream's writing, because otherwise that's not happening. The Dream and Tricky, unstoppable. You had Dream, Tricky, Maestro, and I feel like I'm missing somebody, but those were like the main three people working on Love Hate. And then that's how you get to Love Versus Money, which is even better than that one, and it's not spoken on.
Love Versus Money is underrated.
It is a flop. Listen, okay, so you know how I think about music and everything, because you know I talk about it all the time. So my whole thing is sequencing and making sure that everything flows into the next thing. Mm-hmm. He already did it super well on Love Hate. But when he got to Love Versus Money, that whole little machine startup, and then you go into rocking that shit. Then you get hit again with Walking on the Moon. You say Walking on the Moon? I think Walking on the Moon is the next song on there. And then you get hit with My Love with Mariah Carey. Then you get Sweated Out. Then you get Put It Down. Then you get like Take Her Home to My Mama Part 1 and 2. You get Fancy.
Let's say Fancy. I don't know. I can't remember Fancy's on that one or if it's on Love King.
No, it's not on Love King. Trust me, it's not on Love King.
Love King, the title record of Love King, I love that joint.
Woo! I didn't like it at first when I first heard it back then, but like a couple years ago, I went back through the album again, and I was like...
We underrated the album Love King.
Love King is still not up there with those, but it's still very good.
It's kind of like when Lloyd was still making music in like the early 2010s. Like it was solid, but we were just like, hey, this ain't Southside. Hey, this ain't get a shot.
I don't know why they treated him like that.
They did. They dogged that nigga out.
They dogged him. I, we love Get It Shawty.
Get It Shawty.
You. Yeah, nah, Lloyd was hard. Lloyd was hard. But listen, Love Versus Money. You got the intro, then you got Rocking That Shit, then you got Walking on the Moon with Kanye West, then you got My Love with Mariah Carey, then you got Put It Down, Sweat It Out, Take It Home to My Mama, Love Versus Money, Love Versus Money Part 2, Fancy, Right Side of My Brain, Mr. Yeah's the most underrated song from The Dream. It's a beautiful song. That's what A$AP Rocky sampled on Fashion Killer.
That is what he sampled.
Yeah. He sampled the breakdown part where he keeps saying, you can always come back.
Edited and chopped it up.
Yeah. Which
was a hell of a sample, by the way.
Super. I didn't even know that. And I always liked the Fashion Killer song when I liked a lot of the songs on his album. And I always wondered why. And then when I figured it out, I was like,
Same. But it's the sample.
it's a great chop.
I can't cap.
Yeah, he has... The bonus edition that has Let Me See the Booty with Lil Jon. A great, great Lil Jon appearance here. Because this is a really, really Atlanta album. Very Atlanta. And people try to say that, the shifts in R&B where, like, dudes decided that they wanted to be more, like, rappers than R&B dudes. It's The Dream's fault.
Yeah.
But nobody executed it like him.
I think about Love Hate when I think about that. Because some people think about Love Versus Money. I think of Love Hate because this nigga was like, he was singing clearly, but it's the way he was attacking these beats. He kind of felt like a rapper. Like, I'm thinking of Shawty the 10. What is the other single he did?
I Love Your Girl. Easy.
My favorite Dirty Mac and anthem.
It is the number. Listen.
Like, I'm up to no good. Like,
The Dream, I Love Your Girl, Ralph Tresvant, Sensitivity, and that one song from Joe. I Want to Know, I Want to Say, that's the one. I Want to Know What Makes You Cry. Yeah, top three.
Dirty Mackin.
Top three Dirty Mackin.
I like those. I got to throw in an LL Cool J song with Boyz II Men.
Oh, hey, lover. Yeah. Hey, I saw you sitting over there. Like, that's how you be talking on that motherfucker.
I'm like, smoke a couple of blunts. I'm like,
but actually, Who Do You Love? Remix is actually
Lounge Remix. I like that one.
The Lounge Remix. Yeah, that one goes even harder with Dirty Mackin.
Key Sweat, honestly.
I love Key Sweat.
He be dirty backing, nigga. Like,
he don't even really be Dirty Mackin to me.
A little bit, man.
He like a Dirty Mack, but he be like on his knees with it. Like, hey, like, I need this.
I'm trying to be with you for real. Like, that nigga be begging for the pussy.
Yeah, he not on the Dirty Mack just to get in and get out. He's on the Dirty Mack for the long run. That's why he's a completely different level.
He kind of inspired Drake, honestly.
He inspired everybody. But see, it's like the R&B Mount Rushmore, I mean... When you think about what encompasses everybody, it's like you have Keith, you have Kels, you have The Dream, and then I guess that fourth spot to me is a toss-up. As far as, like, modern R&B goes.
You said Dream, Kels.
Keith the first R&B dude to put 808s in a song.
True.
Yeah, so he started this.
So, Keith, Kels, Dream... Damn, who'd be the other nigga to put on that list of R&B niggas?
Yeah, because it ain't no telling. It's always a toss-up.
It's like the modern niggas. Like, who are these niggas trying to be like?
Usher.
Usher, I'll probably throw in some Genuine a little bit, depending on
the time
I'm talking about singers. Like, if you're talking about mid-2010s, like Bryson Tiller, Tory Lanez, Air Pete, I'm putting Genuine on that list.
I mean, those guys strike me more so like Usher, too. So they're kind of like both of them.
There's something about the beats they was on at that time definitely felt like...
Oh, yeah, because they do feel like more like Subterranean, like some Timbaland stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, so I understand that. Yeah, because, I mean, Timbaland worked with Bryson Tiller, so...
Yo, because he did... He did Sorry, I think Timbaland was really... He did Sorry, Not Sorry.
He did a good handful of things on that first, on that Trap Soul record.
And I think that's the one thing people wonder, like, man, how come Bryson isn't in that bag no more? And I'm just like, it's something about the production.
Like, yeah, like, Timbaland's not there right now.
His writing is phenomenal. I heard his last shit. His writing is still there.
But he can
the same way they used to.
I've never been a big Bryson fan. I just did not care for it. But I respect him.
You know, because, you know, I'm 304, so I just naturally saw the shows just played.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, like, they somebody's always gonna play him around. So I just got to get him in rotation just because.
Got to.
Even though I may or may not be out the game soon, I don't know yet.
Hey man, say man, you know I'm out of the game right now, but you know
it is. I was mad at you, bro. I'm like, damn.
Oh no, I could tell by the typing. I was like, I understand. I was putting up numbers for like a good couple, like you know, like maybe like 5-6 months. I was out here heavy. I was like, yeah, I didn't hit my stride. And then I'm like, oh okay, here we go. We found some solid.
You know, those crazy experiences just happened to me. I'm like, damn, I was going crazy out here.
Yeah, no, I took that one girl to see Kanye with me.
Yo, when you took her to see Kanye, I said, oh, he's out of here.
Oh no, I already knew I wasn't out of here because remember I gave you the details about that when I was like, yeah, I ain't out of here, dude, trust me. And I wasn't.
But I'm just like, man, you took it to see Yale. I'm just like,
yeah, she was like, do I need to know any songs before I go in here? I was like, nah. I was like, just go in here. I had like super good seats. Super good seats. I could see that man like vividly. I was like, yeah, this is good.
You know how I know there's like a plotting on me type shit? Is because I was gonna go see Sid is coming to town next month.
Ooh wee.
And I ain't seen Sid ever. I'm like, okay, I'm about to see
Sid. Ooh wee.
And she hit me talking about some. She kept calling me like, so okay, where did you get sick? Well, she keep asking me about the link to go see to see Sid. And I'm just like, damn, I was about to go solo or meet like another friend up there. And she's adamant about going. She was like, oh, you don't have to hang out with me. This is that. I'm gonna let you do you. I'm gonna just chill. I'm just like, you trying to back me into a corner right now. I don't like that.
Oh, they all playing mind games.
I don't like that.
Yeah, that made me uncomfortable.
Like, you go ahead, just do your own thing.
Oh, man.
Afterwards, or whatever. I'm not trying to ruin your fun. I'm like,
man, I was trying to hit maybe like Valentine's Day back in like 2019. I was trying to hit this the Dream Show that was going to be had like the week right after. And I was trying to get this girl to go with me. And, she didn't respond to me whatsoever on Valentine's Day, so you already know what time it was. Then she came back around like the next week, and I was like, yeah, I was going to try to invite you to something, but never mind. And she was like, what was it? I was like, oh, I was trying to go see The Dream, because, you know, I'm a nigga. I can't go see The Dream by myself.
Exactly.
Like, that don't make no sense for me to go to a Dream show by myself.
Man, that's weird.
That's weird. Yeah. Like even as like a writer and a producer and all these things,
even if you're just a friend, we have to have a
word. Yes, and that was my thing. Like we weren't talking, but I just wanted to ask her because I was like, "Yo, do you want to go with me down here and see this shit? Because I need to hear I love your girl live just one time in my life, and I'll be content. I won't have to go to another show in my life. I see that. I just need that, just one time." Dirty Mackin in the crowd. She went solo on Dirty Mackin in the crowd. Yeah, different timing. But, nah, man. His first album, Certified. Certified. Underrated. Second album, even more underrated. Third album, people just wrote it off too quickly.
Come on, Love King?
Yeah. Love King got written off too quick.
He wrote that nigga off bad. And then he finally came back out with the sex tapes.
Well, he had Foreplay in the meantime. He had.
It was cold. Foreplay definitely.
I like Foreplay, but I didn't like Foreplay. To this day, I think that Foreplay it got less love than Love King, but it should have got as much love as Love King, but still not as much as Love Versus Money or Love Hate.
It's like the way they dropped that nigga off. But I think that was what's kind of naturally happened with a lot of those R&B niggas from the late 2000s.
Yeah,
they
some...
It, all the way in the 2010s.
It was like 2013 through 2017. It was like a weird time. It was a weird time. And then, like, you know, 2016, you get Trap Song and everybody tries to ease back into it. Tory Lanez gets a little bit bigger than what he was previously, so then people start paying more attention to him, and they start doing their style and everything. I mean, you had The Weeknd over here, but The Weeknd is considered a pop star at this point.
Weeknd is doing pop. I'm not going to care. Like, he was a pop artist.
Yeah, at one point, The Dream was saying that he was stealing, like, his style of, like, how he talks about certain things. And, In a certain way, I was like, I can see that. But at the same time, I was like, you don't be singing about coke and white women.
That's the crazy shit. He don't.
Yeah, I was like, nah, like, Dream is opulence. Like, I'm just like, dude, who else could write fancy?
I see in the way that people would use a feature from The Weeknd is what they were doing in 08-09 with Dream.
Yeah, and even still, it didn't pan out the same way. Like, you remember when Dream kept doing on Gym Class Heroes, used him twice?
I like those. They like me. Yeah. It's not in the air.
Come to
my hand out the, bro, hell yeah, remember that shit?
They used him twice.
Because it came up. No, I said, excuse me.
Yeah, because it was on the quiz. 2008.
I was like, excuse me.
Yeah, it was Squeaky Jar and Kissing Ears. They had two songs, and they were just using it for that. And then, you know, the Dream was always good for like the rap R&B crossover supercut. With like Fabulous and Joel Santana somewhere in the mix. Like he was doing that, and Ross was there too. So him and Ross's whole situation pretty much stems from around that time. Because they still collaborate to this day. But yeah, there's no writer better than the Dream living right now. There's no R&B dude better, because them sex tapes go hard.
Bro.
Putting 1, 2, and 3 together in one thing. Listen, the girl that I was trying to take to the show, I put her onto this. I was like, you gotta listen to this straight through.
I had to stop listening to sex tapes for a minute, bro. The girl who I was with at the time, who I was listening to, she like ripped my heart out on some vicious shit. So I was just like, bro, I could not hear shit together for so long.
It's crazy. I mean, I used to think that if I stopped talking to like a certain person, I couldn't listen to certain songs anymore. And I was like, nah, I'm gonna still listen to it, cause ain't no way I'm gonna stop listening to "I Love Your Girl." Boy, the fuck you mean?
When "I Love Your Girl" came out, I was on some Dirty Mac and Nut shit when I was 12 years old. Like,
yeah, I'm in middle school at this point, and I'm just like, yo, I feel this song like deeply. Like that was like the little spark that made me delve more into R&B from that point going forward, and actually pay a little bit more attention. Because, I mean, my mom had it in the car by default, so it wasn't no need for me to go out and look for anything. But I heard, like, I heard Shawty's a 10. I liked it for a little bit, but it wasn't really sticking with me. But I was going through, we didn't use LimeWire in my house. We used, like a different file sharing service that was similar, something else, like FrostWire or something. And I was going through the files just trying to see what song was what, because, you know, Soulja Boy messed up the game when he was naming his stuff other things. And then putting his song on it. So I'm going through some stuff, and I stumbled across "I Love Your Girl," but the file I had was broken. So it played the startup, then it played like the first like 4 bars of that first verse, and then it stopped. And I was like, wait, I need to hear more of this. It's like a comic book. So I'm just like, oh yeah, I need this. So then I ended up getting the whole album together and listening to it every night for years. I go to sleep to it. Like, I internalized it. Like, it's truly...
You know how nuts that sound? Like, you got it, but you internalized it.
I internalized it, and I lived it.
You sound sick, nigga.
I am. I might be. I internalized and I lived it. And I fear the day where I have to live it again. But
crazy. I was like that, but with Nostalgia Ultra.
Man, you know that was kind of attached to the same person too, but sometime later on. I put them on to Novocaine. They were like, and when we broke up, when we actually gave it a real shot, she was like, but you put me on the Frank Ocean. I was like, so?
Everybody like that.
I was like, the fuck? The whole world. Like, you ever heard of Pink and White?
He's the reason I'm still trying to get my hands on the OG pair of Royal Blue ones. I don't want the retros, the new retros. I want the OG joints that came out in 2011.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't need the 2019s, nigga. Give me the 2011s, nigga. That's what I need my pair of.
That's crazy. Yeah, round the city, round the clock. Everybody needs you. Such a great song. Frank got like 4 classics.
Bro, they just don't want to talk about it though.
They're not gonna talk about it. They discount him from the R&B dudes.
Bro, see, that's the same shit they do with Drake rap, nigga. Like, cause like
stupid.
Frank's pen is undefeated.
He has the mystical pen like they say Andre 3000 does, because he doesn't do exactly what everybody else does. He's still in the genre, but his topic range is a little bit wider than most of those dudes. And he's more expressive with how he says it, because he knows that there's a million ways to say the same thing.
Yep. That nigga, he be mad vulnerable with this shit, too. Like, I would say, like, the way that Frank Ocean writes his music is like how a screenwriter writes.
Yeah.
is just different for real.
Like, yeah, no, I got the whole Frank Ocean stash behind me right now on vinyl. So,
what you got? You got
I got Nostalgia Ultra. I got Channel Orange. I got the unreleased Volume 1 in there. I got Blonde in there. I got, what's that other one?
Endless.
Yeah, I have Endless. I have the best story behind Endless, because literally, I ordered it. I thought they didn't deliver it. I had them send me my money back, and then I looked in the mailbox, and it was right there. Therefore, I finessed Frank Ocean after he finessed Def Jam.
No, this nigga finessed Def Jam, bro.
He finessed Def Jam. Yeah, but I got the rest of the Frank Ocean vinyls. Like, I got my Channel Orange back in my hometown, but on my first trip down here to Atlanta before I moved here in 2019, I was here for an anime convention. And I went to Soul Village Mood Music. This is a vinyl shop down there. Now, when Tyler did his tour for Igor and he got to Atlanta, he made a post on his Twitter and he said, "This is my favorite record store in Atlanta." Like, I talked with a dude about all these things for hours because the owner is great. But when I went in there maybe a month before Tyler got there, and I cleared all the Frank Ocean. And I thought about it. I was like, man, if I didn't clear this Frank Ocean, Tyler probably would have cleared the Frank Ocean. So I was like, yeah, I beat Tyler. I beat him to it. Rightfully so.
So next on the list, we got Jill Scott's Words and Sounds Volume 3.
Volume 2 is the classic.
Volume 2 certified.
Volume 2 certified. Volume 1 certified.
That's why I have to do Volume 3, because I heard Volume 3 made way more than Volume 1 and Volume 2.
I heard Volume 2 more than any other volume. 3, I listened to it when you put it on the list, and that one song, that one lyric, still has me stuck. Talking about, your engine, I'm squirting mad oil.
Jill Scott is a freak.
I'm squirting mad oil?
He is a freak, bro.
I'm squirting mad oil. I don't know how many times I can say it. I had to say it 3 times, like Dr. Umar. Like,
she is a freak, bro. Like,
I understand, but hey, that line just threw me off, because when I think of oil, like, you know what oil looks like. I'm like, hey, yo, I don't want to associate this with Jill Scott, yo.
Oh, bro, like, I changed my own oil.
Yeah, like, I changed my own oil. Like, bro, I know what oil looks like. Like, don't tell me that's coming out of Jill Scott, please.
Dog, but hearing this shit again, Jill Scott is really nasty.
Yeah. Now, the album is very sick.
Like, I'm in the front seat just chilling.
Crazy. My mom used to listen to Snoop CDs around that same time. And, like, when Cross My Mind came on by Jill Scott at that same time period, like, when she got to the kiss, this and this and this and this and this and this and that. Like, when she does that part, my mom would turn it off. Like, y'all don't need to hear that.
You wasn't getting it back then. You're like, yo, she in her bag. And then you hear it again, you're like, oh, what the fuck?
Nah, I had already heard it, because she had hopped out the car in one instance. So we listened all the way through it. And I was just like, this is good. I was like, this is good. Yeah, it wasn't too raunchy for me at that point. I was like, this is good. Like, the instrumental is, like, super smooth. Like, everything is smooth. And plus, that's the album where she got the song, like, Grits, Toast. Yeah, that song, the infamous.
Isn't that the one where she's doing the
Toast?
With the mic. Was it the song she was singing with the mic a few years back?
I don't know if she was doing that song while she had the mic, but I feel like that was probably a song from that era somewhere to make that legendary clip, as legendary as it is.
Point, I'm for sure, I need to go see Jill Scott live. Like,
but I need to. Yeah.
Hell, if I gotta be a sick nigga and go by myself, I need to see
Jill Scott. Look, you can go to see Jill Scott by yourself. You can't go see, like, The Dream or, like, Tory Lanez or, like, any of those dudes by yourself.
True. I feel like a Tory Lanez, you can go bag a single woman at a Tory Lanez show.
Yeah, you don't need to go on with anybody.
The Dream is most, because at the Tory Lanez show, there's gonna be a group of girls who go in, like, as friends.
Yeah, and you know they have, like, more, like, hype stuff going on at Tory Lanez, because you know he's getting his rap bag too.
He starts swinging from the fucking. The reason I want to see Tory Lanez live way back then, he was climbing on shit.
He a spider monkey.
That nigga's climbing on shit. He falling.
Yeah, he's climbing and falling. This is dude who does that now.
You know what? He's just swinging through, climbing on all this shit effortlessly like this.
Yeah, no, there's this dude. He's like 6 foot something. His name's Jaleel. He's blowing up on everything right now. He's really buff, but his voice is really small. It doesn't match. But he does his shows and he climbs up on the same things Sway climbs up on, and he does backflips off of them and actually lands them.
That's crazy.
It's nuts. It's nuts, but yeah, nah, that Jill Scott, I think my mom had her hands on it, but it didn't get played a lot in the car. So
my mom was beat, like, we were when Versus was really hot, me and mom, every once in a while, we, if there's one that we really liked together, we'd probably sit there and watch it. We both watched the Teddy Riley and Babyface.
Did y'all watch the Keith one?
The Keith one, we caught part of it.
Ooh, boy, he was smacking Bobby, yo.
Oh, that Keith versus Bobby, I'm tripping. I put that on because my aunt was, we were about to go to LA the next day. So
yeah,
so I turned it on for them and we was team Bobby. And then we was like, oh, Bobby is out of shape.
Bobby is not smacking nobody, man.
The
like,
records was hitting.
The records he was playing, but you know that whole argument of like him having to reach into the new edition bag and everything like that. And it's like, why are you, in my mind, it's like, why are you reaching into that bag? And I was like, I know why you're reaching into that bag. And I can't remember if he played Thug Lovin' or not.
Here's the thing.
Did he play Thug Lovin'?
I can't remember.
He should have played Thug Lovin' and hopped out of the back like he did in the video.
But to me, I was always saying that Bobby didn't even need to reach into his new edition bag.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, why did you reach into that bag? Like, yeah, there was
his Don't Be Cruel album, one of my favorite albums of all time.
Yeah, and he could have, and see, just the same way that he could have just played that whole album through, Keith could have played, he could have played his self-titled all the way through.
I was sleeping on Keith.
Everybody slept on Keith.
I was sleeping on Keith. I said, okay, listen,
Keith is a forefather, writer, producer, performer, singer, arranger, composer. Like, and he's still in shape from back then. So, Keith is always on point. He's never really lost his step. I mean, his first five albums are his best albums, but never really lost a step. And just to say his first five are his best and like that they're all like super solid is something that a lot of people cannot say.
You know what, that's facts.
Yeah, most people don't make it a five. you get two as an R&B dude and then you're done.
That's facts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you gotta come back as an independent.
But definitely now me and my mom, we sat down for the Jill Scott and Erykah Badu one. And that was actually one of our favorite ones because they was just vibing. Internet wasn't fucking up. It was a lit. Mom was rooting for Jill. I'm team Erykah.
I love Erykah.
You know, all Erykah day. From the city.
Every day.
So we really rock with Erykah down here.
Every day. Erykah Badu, every day.
And mom was lit singing every Jill Scott record. I'm just like, what the fuck?
It's like, how you don't know this Erykah Badu song?
I'm just like, what the I'm like, damn, like, mom, you a big fan of Jill Scott for real like that. I keep forgetting mom seen Jill Scott live 3 times.
That's like my dad and Prince. My dad seen Prince live 2 times. He called me the second time. He called me from the show. Didn't say no words. When the show was over, he hung up. He said, did you hear that? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, all right, cool. Hung up the phone.
Nigga say, you hearing greatness.
He was like, this is what it is. And I was like, all right, never forget it. Yeah, but Erykah was in her bag too, man. I love Erykah.
I want to shout out one of my friends I met at Dreamville Fest. It was her birthday a few days ago, and we made fun of her because her birthday's on the 21st. And so when it was her birthday, I said, Dad, can y'all believe it's been 6 years since Prince died?
Oh, my God.
That was the first thing. That she was like, y'all want to wish her happy birthday? I said, can y'all really believe it's been 6 years since Prince died?
That's dirty as hell. Dirty as hell.
Hey, if you give me an opportunity to be sick, I will be sick.
Hey, man. Say, man. Hey, sickness forever.
Common's Electric Circus.
I never got a chance to listen to Electric Circus.
Okay.
I don't know too much about Electric Circus. All I know is what I've read on the internet from in my blog area of digging through the internet and gathering all this knowledge and knowing, like, albums all the way down to their release dates in like the 90s. I read like maybe like 5 different accounts about that album, and I was just like,
it was very polarizing.
Yeah, it was a very eclectic blend. Some people tried to blame him being around Erykah Badu for that.
He's on the album cover.
Yeah, we're blaming Erykah for this.
Like, it's like he was trying to be on. It's like he was on a lot of tits. Like he had Bilal and them on it. It felt at times like he was on some Outkast shit. He was on some Erykah shit. Jill Scott's in. Like, he was really trying to be deep into his neo soul bag, which I'm not mad at.
Yeah, you can't be mad at that. I mean, at the point that he was at in his career, I mean, he kind of needed to do something like that. Wait, does that album have Ghetto Heaven on it?
Does it have who?
Does it have that Ghetto Heaven song with him and Macy Gray?
I don't think. Let me check, because I was just listening to it before we did this show. You said the one with Macy Gray? Nah, yeah. But it has CeeLo, Bilal, Jill Scott, Erykah Badu, Pharrell. I can never make. I get her name wrong all the time.
Oh, he got Ghetto Heaven is on like Water for Chocolate. And Bilal and Jill Scott are on the song together on that album too.
True, Mos Def is on this one actually too. You got a bunch of Slum Village records.
Of course you do. He was with Dilla.
His career. I want to do a deep dive on his career, like at one point. But Electric Circus, I wanted to just solo this album out because I'm like, this album is actually pretty good. It's overhated.
I'm just looking at like the track list, and I'm like, there's no way that this is a bad album.
Now, if you were a fan of Common up until then, I'm pretty sure it caught you off guard.
Oh, probably, yeah. Yeah, it's probably his Lasers, like Lupe's Lasers. Yeah. It's like probably like that.
It's like his Lasers, his Cherry Bomb. Now, leave it to extent, people overhated Blonde for a minute, too.
I don't even understand that.
Niggas didn't come back on Blonde until a few years ago.
I told everybody that Blonde was better than Channel Orange from the day that it dropped.
I said the same thing too.
It's better. It's a better album. It'll always be a better album. There's no way.
He said Blonde was actually personal, and he's telling real stories. He said everything in Channel Orange is fabricated, so he wrote it easily, which is insane.
Yeah, because I mean, think about a song like Crack Rock, and then hearing a song like Pyramids, like fam. I don't believe none of this shit.
Pyramid,
I just think this is good writing.
Rich Kids, like, he wrote a fucking movie.
Yeah, Forrest Gump. Mm-hmm. Why is everybody got so tripped up on that song? Like,
because he emphasized even Running Through My Mind, Boy. So, like, he's emphasizing that he's gay.
Yeah.
But again, it's 2012. Like, society, I have to tell my sister this all the time. Society was so different back then to where Frank Ocean coming out, not even as gay, as bisexual,
was
the biggest deal. One of my friends, I see he posted on Tumblr. So I had a laptop, but I wasn't on smartphones. I had a smartphone, but I wasn't using the apps like that because they sucked. That's 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of see the note, and I had to go with my mom to go run some errands, and then I came back. And then I hear the Skype sound where you know somebody's calling you.
Yeah.
I'm like, do, 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 do. I hear that sound. My homie Mike, shout out to Mike, and our friend Kyla, they're on a call together, and they said it was at the nigga Sam one. They had me and said, "What's up?" She's crying. I said, "What the fuck's wrong with you?" And she's like, "Did you hear about Frank Ocean?" I said, "Is that nigga dead?" She's like, "Nah, he like niggas." I said, "Y'all call me for this."
Hey, yo. Oh, my God.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it. Got the girls crying, man.
Bro.
He's still like y'all. It's like he's still like y'all. I mean, he just do whatever he want now.
Now, what that nigga said at the end of the last record of Blonde, and it's the coldest shit to me I've ever heard in my life. I've let Rory mention it on the Rory Amal show. Because I've been thinking about that line for years. And nigga said, "You mustn't get the memo. I don't cut bitches. I don't cut bitches no more. But yo, bitch, the exception. Come get out of my photo." I was like, damn. This nigga said, "I don't even like women, but I can take your chick." You can't do shit about it.
Hey, Frank Ocean, the realest. The realest.
Electric Circus, not a classic. We didn't have it on rotation.
Actually, my dad probably had it on rotation at some point, but he probably just threw it to the side at some point and was just like, all right, whatever.
My mom's friend owns a hair salon, I used to go up there like twice a month.
Yeah.
And she had it on rotation up there. So that's kind of how I used to hear it.
Yeah, now my dad, heavy dungeon family, Soulquarians type dude. Hey. So, yeah.
Are you? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's Earl South nigga.
Yeah, Earl real Earl. Deal.
Erykah Badu's Worldwide Underground.
Classic.
Is it classic for you?
It's smacking, man.
It's one of those things where it's so skewed to me because her discography is that great.
I appreciate that project so much because it wasn't actually put out on a label whatsoever at that time, and it was one of those things that was like pretty much bucking at the industry, and they were mad at it, then they had to accept it.
Interesting. Now that part I didn't know.
Yeah,
I just know for the fact we heard it again. I'm living in Dallas, so it's easy for us to hear that shit.
It wasn't actually like released like a normal release whatsoever. She just threw it out there. I actually have a vinyl of that version of it, like when it dropped without like the cover art or any of that. Yeah, I got the promo pressing of it or some shit.
That is crazy.
Yeah,
that's late because when I think of Worldwide Underground, I'm like, I like this album a lot. Even the summer after my senior in high school,
yeah,
I just downloaded everything Erykah Badu, and I just bumped her the entire summer. Baduism is like some shit I listen to like in the peak hours of the night. Mama's Gun, that's some time. That's my afternoon album. New America Part 1 and 2, that's like me early in the morning.
Those albums are underrated.
Which one, New America?
Both of them. Both of those.
Those are the ones. Listen.
Underrated, because the thing is, I didn't catch most of those albums at that time because my mom didn't have them in the car. She liked the Honey Song. The Honey Song was Honey hard. But the other pieces of it like were not played for us. So I went back some time later and like looped through them because they randomly popped in like my like suggestions and everything. And I'm just like, what happened? Like, who dropped the ball and said this was not hard? Like, this is sick. Like,
because I can't explain why. Because again, this shit, we're in Dallas, so this shit's hard to us. Even when the window seat video where she got arrested.
Hell yeah.
We were downtown near that area where they're blocking off roads. To that shit, like she legit got arrested shooting that video. She like stripped naked and was walking down the street.
Oh, so she was in your city?
Yeah, like she was downtown, like she was legit not even downtown, she was like south side filming that video,
which would
be at the time 15 minutes away from where I was living back then. Yeah, so we remember it was all over the news here. That's when Erykah Badu gets arrested for stripping naked
doing that's thing. Hard.
And my mom was like, yo, this girl's so crazy. And I heard the record. I said, nah, this is sick.
This is great.
Like,
The slow-mo? Hello.
That shit was fire. And I love this album anyways, because Window Seat, I love it so much. I think it's either Window Seat or Gone Baby Don't Be Long. Thundercat is on it. I know Thundercat may be on Window Seat, and Flying Lotus directed the video for Gone Baby Don't Belong.
That's sick.
Oh. Yeah, fun fact for those that didn't know.
Let me give you one. Cause I got these actual physical CDs in my cabinet, in my desk, and what you know about this John Legend? What you know about this John Legend, man? It's got PDA on it. It's got PDA. Let's go to the park.
That's when he was still relatively black.
I was about to say he was still black at this point.
Before he
did Green Light. He did Green Light and everything just shifted. I was like, yo, yeah, no, that album right there is solidified. I mean, everybody understands Get Lifted is a classic, but once again it's just as good.
Once again is one of those things where everybody only like Get Lifted for like one or two songs. So,
but Get Lifted has way more than just one or two songs that are good. Yeah, it has so many, like Get High and everything. Also, just wanted to show that this is sealed.
The Lupe Fiascos.
This is sealed. This is the replacement for the one that I broke in my pocket because I wanted to take it to school in middle school all the time just in case someone wanted to hear it. So I found one in the plastic, and I found one that wasn't in the plastic. So I ride around with that one. Yes, living life. Also, I wanted to point out that The Real World by Missy Elliott is a classic. I don't know why people write her albums off in general, or why they like blank her out of like the history of everything, but they bring her up and everybody's like, oh yeah, now I remember because of the music videos. But
you remember her for dancing and music videos, but like her actual albums were solid.
Every last one of her albums, like, there's like really no misses. Like, you did maybe on the cookbook there's a couple misses to somebody, I don't know.
And on the cookbook, that's like at the tail end, like she's pretty much done at that point.
Yeah, no, that was the last one. That was the one that had Lose Control with Ciara, Fat Man Scoop,
and
it had On and On with Pharrell and Chad.
I need to, because one of my friends, she loves Missy Elliott. She's put me onto a lot of her shit back when we were in college together.
Yeah, yeah.
Even one thing, I didn't even know until now to the flip of it, that she was an R&B group.
Yeah.
And I'm, this like, is... and I'm listening, I'm like, damn. I said, this girl's singing. They're like, yeah, that's Missy. Like, oh, God.
Crazy. Yeah, nobody knew. I mean, she knew Puff back then. She was under, like, Jodeci, some of like Casey and JoJo, or Devontae Swing, that's who it was. And she was running with them, and then like shit was going kind of left, like trying to figure out what to do. And so then she ended up branching off on her own, and boom, you get Missy. Totally worth it. Also, this double disc Big Crit album.
Actually, I've listened to that one a lot now.
This is flawless. Flawless album. Well, he's not brought up enough, only because J. Cole is from the South, but whatever. Whatever.
Now, you know, I do have my theories on why J. Cole is the only representation from the South. It's because J. Cole, to me, is a Southern, like, he gets to claim a Southern rap while still being palatable enough for, like, East Coast listeners.
Yeah, because he raps more East Coast than Southern.
Yep.
And yeah. So that's why I've never been very like, whoa, my God, J. Cole is on a song with 21 Savage. Oh my God, this is so crazy. But I'm like, he's from North Carolina. That's technically still considered the South, even though it's North Carolina. I'm from South Carolina, so of course I have my bias. I'm like, that shit say North. That's North.
I spent a lot of time in North Carolina when I was like a toddler and like preschooler. Mom, we live in Atlanta, and Mom loved taking me to Chattanooga and Charlotte a lot.
Yeah.
That was their shit.
Yeah, nah. Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, I guess you're going to go to Charlotte if you like, lived in Atlanta at that point. It's like, yeah, I'm just going to go to Charlotte at that point. Everybody else from, like, the outside of Atlanta is like, yeah, let's go to Atlanta. Yeah.
We were in Atlanta all the time.
Yeah. But man, no, I still feel like there's so many projects. I can't even think of all of them at the moment that I'm just like, yo, these are like some of the most solid albums that anybody will ever hear. Like, these are really staples in music, but nobody's going to actually just say it. What was the next album we had? Was it Ciara? We had Ciara on there.
Ciara's Evolution. Yeah, I
believe. Classic. Yeah. Easy. Certified. No misses.
That is the one for boy.
No misses.
Ciara's Evolution. You know, it's funny.
No misses.
Hearing some of those records, I think I'm starting to realize my love for the Neptune started off very young, because my favorite song on there was I Proceed.
That was your favorite song on there. Promise was mine.
Because I like the beat.
Promise was mine, because I think that's say what?
I said Promise had me too horny as a kid. I was like 11.
Hey, listen. Horny, but hey, listen. The instrumentation.
It's fire.
It's
Like a Boy.
Like a Boy was the second song on there. Like, she started off right with Lil Jon. Then she goes straight into Like a Boy. Then she has the Evolution of Music interlude. Then she goes straight into Promise. And also, it is attributed to Polo the Don's Run. Because if you listen to Promise and then you listen to Sex Therapy by Robin Thicke, tell me they don't, those two songs don't belong right beside each other.
You're right.
like the structure and everything, the way it is so like airy, and it allows them to just be like the super suave R&B person that each one of them was at the times that they put out those songs. Like Promise broke her out of the little girl bag that they tried to put her in.
Yeah, cause she was actually really young on the first time. She was like 18.
She was like 18 or 17, and even then on that album, what happened, because she had a song with R. Kelly at the end of that one.
Whoa, probably did.
Yeah, no, there's a song with R. Kelly on the tail end of that one. It's a crazy song when you look back at the timeline, but yeah, go check it out when you get a chance. But yeah, I mean, he's even on the remix for Promise, and I mean, he kills the shit. But that's
the time where R. Kelly was hopping on remixes and like body and shit.
2006, 2007, R. Kelly, when he was about to drop Double Up, he was killing everybody's remix.
People don't remember I'm a Flirt is Bow Wow song.
Yeah, then it became R. Kelly's song.
Bro, I'm mad because I actually like the Bow Wow version. I had the
Bow Wow version is cool, but you know that
because it was, you know, because they didn't list it.
I had 12 wrecks in my life. Oh, she had can't leave him alone with 50 Cent on here.
That's the other one, bro.
Crush. CRUSH with Lil Jon on the beat.
That one is woo.
Then she had My Love as the next song. Mm-hmm. Then her Make It Last Forever that had Dark Child on that beat. Yeah,
Dark Child under fucking rated.
Bang It Up is on there. That's another Polo joint. Get Up with Chameleon there. That's a Jazzy Faye. That's a Jazzy Fizzle product shizzle.
Get Up, man.
For the movie,
Step Up.
From Step Up, yeah.
Step Up, yeah.
When Step Up first came out, this was there. You know, Sean Paul and Keisha Cole had their joint for it too.
Give It Up to Me.
Yeah, that shit gets played in Wendy's lobbies, yo.
Crazy.
Yeah, Get In, Fit In. Yeah, I don't remember some, like, these last couple songs. I don't remember exactly how they sounded, but I'm just looking at, like, who was on production and who was handling everything. You got Brian Michael Cox on here, Polo the Don, Jazzy Faye, Lil Jon. Like, all the guys that need to be here. Pharrell is on here twice. Pharrell is here twice. I'm Just Me, near the end. Dallas Austin's is here. It's a 4 count.
That's a Pharrell beat.
Yeah.
I can hear it.
Yeah, it's a 4 count.
I can, and that's also the way he plays piano. You can tell when it's Pharrell on
the
shit.
Yeah, and then the last track is the Promise remix, the one to go and get your tickets, because they were supposed to be going on tour together after that. Timeline's crazy, yeah. I did my deep dives on R. Kelly back in like 2013, around the time that he did Black Panties. So I filled out all the gaps that everybody missed, and I'm like, you guys really didn't see it.
And this is before the doc, too.
This is before the doc. I connected it before the doc. I didn't need the documentary. I saw it, but I'm like, dog, this dude's a musical genius, but he's just big. Demented. Yeah, he's demented as hell. R by R. Kelly is insane. But I see why. Yeah. Like, but yeah, no, that one right there, that's certified. Keisha Cole's second album, like we said before, certified. You can't skip no tracks in that. You can't skip none. I think I talked to somebody, they tried to say Jay Holiday's first album is a classic. I'm like, no. I'm like, The Dream should have kept Bed.
Of course that's The Dream's record.
Yeah, you didn't know that? You know, man. Okay, so Chris Brown wanted the record. Mm-hmm. He wanted the record at that same time, but the thing was that they were feeling like Chris Brown, it wasn't time for Chris Brown to do a record like that yet. Yeah, because
he was still a baby. He was like 18.
Yeah, he was like 18, almost 19, but not there yet. And they understood the image that they were building for him was something more akin to Michael Jackson. And he was mad at The Dream because he didn't give him that song. Because the song ended up being a fucking hit.
To be fair, I would be mad too. It's like, you didn't give me the record, but you gave it to fucking Jay Holiday.
You gave it to Jay Holiday. The man who started off his album with, my daddy was a bitch ass nigga. Like, why would you start an album like that? Like, boy, you sassy. Like, like, don't take this off, bro. This is not an intro. This is not an intro. Damn. You got any rap picks?
Rap picks for underrated albums. Okay, here's, you know, the one that popped in my mind. Don't judge me. Lil Bow Wow's Doggy Bag.
Certified. I can't argue with you with that one. I can't argue with you on that one, because what he did from that point has never been done before that, and it was not done after. Like, because look, his whole career was mimicked by the industry. Like, you know, you try to bring out boy bands and try to bring out all these other little rap dudes and everything. They tried it with Diggy, like, it didn't work.
Diggy's our age.
Diggy is our age. Diggy was out here trying to beef with J. Cole about J. Cole fucking his sister.
I keep thinking about Gambino's Eat Your Vegetables. They said everybody knows she got 10 gold bitties, but nobody cares like it's J. Cole Diggy. I like,
So you're beefing with J. Cole, and you're supposed to be in the same collective with Pharrell and Lupe and Asher and Blue and Wale.
They sure was in the
fight. And BLB and the Cool Kids and Charles Hamilton.
Together. What was the name of that group?
All City Chess Club. He made a song called, his first single. You remember his first single was Copy and Paste?
I remember Copy and Paste.
Copy and Paste me. It's like, bro, how you, and see, my mindset at that time, because remember I got blocked by B.O.B. for going hard on him. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you can't be aligned with these dudes and making something like this. Like, I was upset. I was very upset. And then I remember I heard his mixtape for, like, the first time, and he was like, you guys don't know how hard my life is when they turn the cameras off, and dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And I'm like, okay.
They were setting Diggy up to be, like, the one.
They wanted him to be, like, mini Drake before Drake even got to take off.
Yep.
It was failure.
All of 2010, they kept pushing Diggy like a motherfucker.
They were
trying to mix it with part what worked for Bow Wow, part seeing what Drake is doing currently, and seeing how they could twist that and make it its own lane.
Yeah, and he already has his legendary ties, and they're trying to tie him also to, like, the real deal, like, what are quote-unquote spitters at that time, because he's attached to the All City Chess Club. Because
it was working for a year, and then it just went away.
It just went away because he wasn't producing anything. Most of people in All City Chess Club weren't producing anything besides Asher. Asher, Wale, I'm not talking about the B-Man no more. I won't speak on him no more. I'm still blocked. But then you got Lupe semi-returning to form sometime after that, but it was what it was.
Bow Wow to this day, he's still one of one. Like, what he did.
They tried it with Lil Romeo. It's not the same.
I mean, people keep talking about Lil Romeo and Bow Wow beef, and I said, bro, there was never a competition between these two.
Bow Wow was always better. Like, there's never been a moment in anybody's mind where you're going to think that Lil Romeo is better than Bow Wow.
There's no way niggas heard the Beware of Dog album. And then he follows it up with Doggy Bag. If the niggas to say, oh yeah, it was him and Romeo. Nah, it was him and Romeo.
You heard Wanted? You heard Wanted?
I have Wanted on CD.
You heard Off the Leash?
Bro, I had Unleashed. I had every CD of his, bro.
We heard Out My System. Where was Romeo then?
Again, I feel like it was a competition for the girls, because they like to pick their crushes. It was Romeo and Bow Wow. From a talent and output perspective, well, I was lapping that nigga.
Mm. It's not always. He was lapping before he started.
Bro, like, and these niggas tried to come through with Bow Wow with this. Because, you know, it's funny. Bow Wow, he did a Jackson 5 sample.
Yeah.
And then Romeo came
and tried to do it. He did the same thing right after.
I don't think it was the same song. I think it was a different song.
I think one did ABC and I Want You Back. Wait, are those
a Candy Girl?
Oh yeah, Bow Wow did a new edition. That's already knockout territory.
Hey, you let this nigga Bow Wow remix.
Like, that's second wave. Like, new edition is second wave Jackson 5. So it's like, you're literally second wave to Bow Wow doing a second wave sample. And it hasn't even really been like a whole 3 years yet. But adults were running this. It's not his fault.
Bow Wow had the it factor. Bow Wow was just...
Bow Wow had the braids. Bow Wow was in like Mike. Bow Hello?
Bow Wow was the reason I started rocking braids.
I didn't have braids at that point. I'm just now like wearing like fros and braids and everything. But
see, I keep my shit cut low. I did the fro and braids for pretty much my entire youth, nigga.
Yeah, nah, I feel more youthful with it. But
I did that shit as a kid. I had the Pusha T joints.
I'm getting there to the Pusha T joints.
Ones. We had the three strands going down. I had all of them.
Yeah, nah, I'm trying to grow the Pusha T so I can become a true menace.
They was doing I was putting my shit in a ponytail in the summertime. Yeah, we was doing it.
Yeah, nah, living life. I'm trying to get there. Boy.
Can never do it again, nigga. My scalp is tender as hell. That shit was hurting.
Yeah, mine's is tender, but I still go for it. I still go for it. Not often, though. I can't go often. I just do it whenever I can, whenever I got the utilities to do it.
I feel that.
Yeah, but G. Man.
What's cool having you on, man? I gotta get up and get going.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, we're gonna have to do it sometime soon, man. Another time.
You on, bro?
Yeah.
For sure. And this is episode 94, and we out.